Hey guys, thanks for checking out the Access Point podcast. Whether you stumbled upon us for the first time or you're a longtime listener, we thank you for coming and listening, and we hope you enjoy. We are in our new series, America. You know, I know some of you are like, man, you spelled it wrong. You're supposed to be a U. You know, America. You know, you've seen it either way, but I can't get away. You know, I've already misspelled it without putting the A up there, so that's as far as I can go. But we wanted to do this series, yes, because we're coming up on Independence Day. You know, we celebrate what that means to our country so much more, hopefully, to you than, hey, let's set off some fireworks and cook on the grill. You know, we get to celebrate that, and that's a fun aspect of our American twist to, you know, the original day. But it's so much more that lies behind that. And really, because of the climate we live in, I wanted to clear up some issues when it comes to patriotism and Christianity. There's a lot of misconceptions about that. So I'm hoping with this series, we'll have a good blending of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to be a good American citizen, possibly a good patriot, if you will. But before I get too far on that, just want to look at America as a whole. America, I mean, it's a great place to grow up. I mean, there's a reason people are trying to, you know, find their home here, trying to legally, illegally, whatever it takes to get to America. It's because we are a great place to live. We you know, grew up on certain values, and not always Christian values, but there are some moral values that this country was raised on that, you know, when you go to an American school, there's things that are assumed, expected, that you're going to learn because of the values that we have in our country. You know, this country has grown, it's flourished, it's won a lot of battles, it's lost a few small things here and there, but overall, we are a country that has won. We've done a lot, we've seen a lot, and because of what's happened, because of the leadership, because of our men and women overseas and men and women who protect our security here, we have a lot of freedom. We have a lot of things that we take for granted that other parts of the world, you know, really long for, they desire, and that's why they come to America. That's why we're looked at as this amazing place to be and to live and for people to do whatever it takes to get here. But again, as I said, as great as America is, as much as I love our country, there has been almost a shift that I've seen, you know, over, say, the past 10 years in our political climate that makes it difficult for me as a pastor sometimes without the fear of getting a debate, especially on Facebook. My goodness, you can't put anything on Facebook, you know, whether you meant it as an argument or not, somebody's going to be like, well, as a pastor, you shouldn't be posting things. I'm like, what's wrong with that? And they, because it had something America, well, you know who's your president, you know who's your governor, so do you agree with that? I'm like, it was about America, not either one of those guys, you know, so that's yet still the political climate we run into. So as Christians, there's a bump. It used to be where you're a Christian, therefore you're a patriot. It was assumed. Now it's, oh, because you're a patriot, we definitely know you must be one of those Christians, and I know which way you voted. I know who you voted for back in November. It's an assumed thing. You can't be a patriot and a God-fearing Christian, or on the other side, if you're a God-fearing Christian, you have to be a patriot, and you have to vote Republican. You can't vote this way. If you're Democrat, how dare you even think about the term patriotism? You know, it's sad that there's been a line divided there when the way I look at it, I'm like, you were born in America, right? I was born in America. I love where I came from. I love my country. I didn't say I loved everything my leaders have said, everything they've voted for, everything they've done, everything they've implemented, but that doesn't affect the way I love my country. But so often we think of love of country as love of leaders. That's not the case. But again, it's this political climate that we're in that we're having a hard time holding on to a sense of patriotism and this pride for country, but this still sense of, well, you're a Christian, so you've got to walk this fine line. You can't have it both ways. You can't have a love and allegiance of country and a love and allegiance of God. Or you can't vote a certain way if you do. And it's like, I can love my country, I can love my God, and I can still disagree with what's happening in our political world and still be a patriot. But again, it's the climate we live in. It's a sad climate that has put this dividing line between us. And so that's why I'm hoping this series will help us clear up some of the junk, the mess that has been created with this political climate that we live in. So don't for an instant think, because I'm talking about patriotism, that I'm telling you how to vote or how to look at leaders or elect your next leaders. I'm going to show you that God wants us to pray for them, but it also teaches that regardless of that, our first allegiance is with God, and that despite who our leaders are, God has put them there, and our job as Christians is to pray for and respect them and to love them as our leaders. But it doesn't mean I have to hate my country because I hate who my country has elected or I hate the way they've made decisions. That's not what patriotism is, but that's what the political climate tries to tell you it is. So let's clear some of this up, because for American Christians, they're really, in my mind, there may not be anything more complicated or wrapped in history and politics than patriotism, especially when I talk about, well, I'm a Christian patriot. Oh, no, how dare you even throw that word around, especially in church. You know, you're a pastor. You're not allowed to say that. You know, and if I do, some of you are like envisioning, oh, well, a patriot who's a pastor, he's got to be this old farm church. You know, those are the ones that are allowed to say that. Again, it's because we've allowed ourselves and our minds to be warped around that political climate of what these stereotypes look like if you're called a patriot. So there's a lot of warped reality, a lot of misconstrued understanding of what that term means. Because even saying that term patriot, and some of you, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I'm hoping we'll be able to answer some questions throughout this Sunday. But when I say that, many of you have mixed emotions. Some of you are like, yeah, like, Patrick, go USA, and that's awesome. Some of you are like, you're not allowed to say that in church. You know, you're divided. You're not dividing, you know, church and state. You're not doing what you're supposed to. No, my only role as pastor is not tell you who to vote for, so for us to keep our 501c3. I'm not allowed to do that, but I can talk about patriotism up here. But it garners as many responses as there are people here. You know, many of you have some similarities to what your neighbor believes, what I believe, but there's a lot of different nuances to that term, that understanding, that definition, if you will. But really, this love of country, as we're calling this patriotism, is looked on with both reverence and even revulsion in our Christian community. And honestly, if you take an objective view, both sides always have good reasoning. And you say, oh, no, the other side never has good. No, both sides typically have at least a snippet of good reason. Then some sides go to the extreme, and you're like, okay, now I can't follow you at all. But both sides do have some idea of what they're holding on to, why they're holding on to it, and what patriotism is to them and their Christian walk. And so I'm hoping with that we can clear up some of these nuances, not alter what you believe about this country, believe about politics. That's not my role. My role is to show you what I understand through Scripture and what patriotism is and how you view it and how you view yourself as a Christian in America. Because, again, some preach, and I've heard preachers, you know, talk about that, you know, allegiance of any kind. You know, you can't stand up, you can't put your hand on your heart, you can't pledge allegiance to the flag or anything else, because that is taken away from God. That's going away. That's veering away from devotion to God. And in a sense, I'm like, yes, I understand it's God first. And they take it to the extreme saying, well, any allegiance, any sense of adoration or praise, that's all to God. Yeah, any pledge of any kind, any support is a form of idolatry. And again, yes, there is some good in what they're saying, and I understand that. And I say, yes, I see where you're coming from. But again, it can be taken to the extreme. So you've got that side of the argument. But then on the other hand, some Christians confuse Christianity and Americanism to a sense where they become hyper-patriots. And these are the ones that think, you know, God's chosen nation now is America. God's people are now Americans. I'm going to be straight up with you. We're not. We're not the new Israel, as some have preached, some have taught. We've been blessed by God, but that doesn't mean that, oh, well, now since Jesus came, America is now my chosen people. No. Israel has and was God, been God's people. Yeah, we know that. And Israel is an important element to history and even to our future. But we confuse this and even hear sermons talking about that America is God's chosen people. And we've even heard people say that Christianity and patriotism are synonymous terms. An evangelist by the name Billy Sunday said that. And many of you may have grew up thinking, yep, that makes sense to me. And in a portion, yes, it makes sense. But so many Christians have associated loyalty to their nation with loyalty to God. If you're not loyal to God, you can't be loyal to your country. And if you're not loyal to your country, you can't be loyal to God. Again, there's elements that are good there, but again, it's so often taken to the extreme because what they've done is they've confused the Christian faith with a man-made American religion of American patriotism. Again, saying, if you're not a patriot, then you're not loved by God, or you're not God's chosen people, or you're not a real Christian if you're not a patriot, and if you're not voting the way that I think you should vote, because Scripture says that's the side you got to vote. No, Scripture didn't pick sides when it came to voting and politics. It gave us an understanding of ethics and morality, and that's how we discern. That's how we vote. That's how we decide, by understanding God's word and understanding what He wants us to do and to say and how our leaders should act. And so with all of this, and this is, again, just a small portion of both sides, I hope we can answer some of these questions of how should Christians view patriotism? You know, and is there a Christian response to patriotism that pleases God, that is aligned with Scripture? And then can we be patriots and Christians at the same time? Is there such a dividing line that you have to choose country or God? You can't have both. Some will argue you can. The other side says both go hand in hand. Therefore, you can't choose. They have to be together. And so what I want to do is first understand what we're talking about when we say the term patriot. Because there are so many variations in understanding in that term, whether I say patriot or that you're patriotic, that if we're really going to understand it, if we're going to answer this, then we have to answer, well, what do you mean when you say, I am a patriot, or I am a very patriotic person? You know, what does that mean? Because as with any word, there's so many nuances of meaning, so many different people with different understandings, and they take this word in a certain window, a certain sphere, you know, depending on where they grew up. And, you know, growing up in northeastern North Carolina, I saw it as, again, I grew up really thinking and believing they were synonymous, patriotism, Christianity. You got to have both or you're not really a good Christian. That's how I grew up. Whereas when I went to college and met friends that would argue against our country and argue against, you know, what was going on, and then they would say, you know, you can't be a patriot. You call yourself a Christian. I'm like, I thought those went hand in hand. Well, I began to realize that there are different nuances and understandings that when you really, again, look at both sides, you say, well, I understand where you're coming from. So let's break down this word patriot. Or break down this word to be patriotic. Because in its simplest form, if you're just talking about what does it mean to be patriotic, it simply means we love our country. That's it. It's being patriotic is a love for country. But some have defined patriotic in a way that implies that this individual, and you've probably been taught this, I've heard people even preach this and teach this in church, is that you should place the interests of the nation above his or her own personal interests. Or your personal rights, and sometimes even your personal beliefs and ethics. But what they're doing, they're turning patriotism into nationalism. And we're going to look at that here in a second. But they've defined this term of, I'm a patriot, to anything, anybody, any nation falls subsequent to me as an American. Remember, we're God's chosen people. And that's how they view it. I'm a patriot. I'm better than you. My country's better than your country. Where I grew up is better than you. You've never heard of Edenton, but it's better than where you're from. You know, this sense of because of where I was born, even though I had no choice in the matter, I'm better than you are. Therefore, I'm a patriot. When again, they're misconstruing what it really means. So it's important to be clear in talking about what this distinction is between patriotism and nationalism. It's a distinction that has been blurred both in our politics and even in our church. Because again, patriotism, clearing up, making it simple, defined as a love of country. Hopefully make it, you know, can't make it any clearer than that. And this term isn't just an American term, okay? Patriotism is worldwide. It includes much of our world. You know, when you talk to an Australian, I had a good friend in college that we would, you know, pick on him. That was when the Geico little guy was coming out. He said, "That's not an Australian accent." You know, he said, "That's one of you crazy Americans trying to talk like us." You know, I can't talk like him either, as you can tell. But, you know, he loved Australia. And I wanted to go back to Australia with him, but it cost too much. But he was a patriot. He loved his country. He flew his flag in his dorm room. We'd walk around like, "That's not American. Let's get out of here." You know, he loved Australia. He was a patriot. And you know, maybe you've got friends from other parts of the world and they love where they're from. So patriot can be anybody. There are some countries that they could care less about their leaders, their country, where they're from, and they wish they could go anywhere but home. But patriotism is a worldwide understanding or belief system, and in any system, as in America, but maybe not quite as bad as we as Americans have become, is a sense of overwhelming pride to the sense that nobody else can beat us, nobody else is as good as us. That's, we're all guilty of it in America, probably more so than any country, I would dare say. But this love that I'm talking about, that again is worldwide, is a love that makes you thankful that you're American whenever you hear the national anthem. It makes you thankful if you're British whenever you hear "God Save the Queen." Or it makes you happy if you're Canadian when you smell maple syrup. You know, those kind of things. You know, it's, you know, for, or do I have any Canadians here? I don't think. You guys are going to walk out on me like, yeah. I don't know how you sound like a Canadian. I'm too Southern for that, for any other accent. But it's those feelings that, you know, when your country wins. When we had Michael Phelps with all these medals, we're like, "That's America." You know, yeah. And when he got silver, we're like, "How dare he get silver? Pfft, what kind of mess is this? We want gold, Mike. You know, how dare you?" And now, have you heard he's trying to race a shark or something on Discovery Channel? I don't know. He's not getting a medal for that, I don't think. But you know, when our country is standing up for us, you know, in the worldwide stage, winning medals, there's a reason they do the total medal count. Because we as Americans love to see that we've got 20 more golds than anybody else, that China is nowhere close to us, because that's always like our closest competitor, especially in gymnastics. But we love to see that medal count, and it gives us a sense of pride that we're Americans, that we grew up here, that we get to call this home. So this love that I'm talking about is this sense of pride and thankfulness of your hometown. I have a sense of pride for North Carolina. Again, North Carolina has not always made the best decisions. I have pride in Edenton, but Edenton's not always made the best decisions. But still, I have a sense of pride and thankfulness. You know, when I see people talking about top Southern places to visit, and Edenton's like on the list, I'm like, "That's my hometown." And I know you guys have a sense of pride because you share it on Facebook. And you're like, "This is where I'm from." You know, yeah. And it's exciting. We're allowed to have that sense of pride in where we're from, that sense of happiness when we talk about home. You know, this is a really an altruistic attitude for freedom, democracy, culture, and any of the values that we treasure in our nation. That's the love that we have. That's the feeling we get when we say we're a patriot or we are patriotic. So that's what I mean when I'm talking about patriotism, is a love for country, a love that says, "I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad this is my culture. I'm glad this is what, as a whole, we believe, what my children are taught in school, what we hold on to and what we treasure as a nation, I treasure that too as an individual. So I consider myself a patriot in this definition. But nationalism, on the other hand, which many have defined as patriotism, nationalism takes that love of country and expands it to mean that whatever it takes at the expense of anybody in any nation, we're better. Forget the rest of the world. We are America. We're God's people. We're God's blessed country. Therefore, if you're from anywhere else, you're just not quite as good as us. You're not quite the same. You know, when somebody believes that they're better because of where they were born or where their passport says, you know, they're from, it gives them a sense of value and even a sense of superiority over anybody else. And you know these people. You may be thinking of those people, or you may be like, I think that's me, actually. Well, I'm not picking on you if that is, but realize that is not patriotism. That is nationalism. When you take your love for country to the point where I'm better because I didn't choose where I was from, but I was still born there. Therefore, I have a better understanding of the world, better understanding of politics, better understanding of everything because I'm an American. That's nationalism. In America, what we typically refer to it in a very innocuous sounding title of American exceptionalism. You've heard it, haven't you? We have American exceptionalism where we're better than everybody else. That is nationalism. Too often it means we're treasuring American identity at the expense of anybody else. And as Christians, we have to be careful of that. You know, God talked about this very thing when it came to Israel, especially after Jesus died. Paul's like, look, remember, Jesus died for everyone. They're like, yeah, every Jew, right? He's like, no, Gentiles, slave or free, man or woman, he died for them. They're like, no, we're God's chosen people. And they started taking this very seriously. And they started understanding that, hold on, this God that we've called our own for thousands of years is now saying he wants these other people, these filthy, less human people than us to be saved, to understand our God, to pray to our God. No, that's not how it works. And see, Israel was dealing with a sense of nationalism. And America, too, we're guilty of the same thing. Even in our churches, where any other country, any other church outside of America, you're just not God's chosen people. God died to save you, but it's not the same as it is for us. So there's a dangerous line that many Christians have crossed when it comes to patriotism. They've crossed over the line of nationalism and have forfeited a sense of love and concern for anybody else outside of our borders. And what that does is it pits America against anybody else, even in our churches, in our Christian world. That's why some churches don't want to support missions work. That's why some churches don't want to even think about, you know, other church plants or churches building in other parts of the world because, hold on, we're God's church. We're God's people, so we'll keep our focus here. We'll keep our expenses here because this is where God wants us to be anyway. You know, this nationalism is saying my country is better than yours. You're less civilized. You're less enlightened because of where you're from. Even though we didn't choose it, they didn't choose it. We still have this sense that we're better. And so nationalism, it never considers, hey, we can actually learn as a church or as a nation from other churches, other nations, other people. Because what nationalism says is, we've already got it figured out, so maybe you can learn from us, but how dare you think we can learn anything from you? So then, if that's the distinction, hopefully you've got a better feel for it now. How do we as Christians distinguish? How do we make sure that we're not crossing over that line between patriotism and nationalism? Well, to me, the best thing to do is, let's look what Jesus did. Can Jesus be considered a patriot? Did Jesus talk about patriotism? And I think there's one great passage referring to that, where we see a sense of patriotism in Jesus. It wasn't a sense of nationalism, because again, he came to die for everyone. And the early church had a hard time with that, especially the Jews. But Jesus was showing them what a sense of true patriotism looked like. And that's going to be in Luke 19, just a couple of verses. This is after Jesus is coming, you know, setting the scene for you. He's coming into Jerusalem. He had the triumphal entry, you know, leading up to Easter. And this is Palm Sunday, what we call Palm Sunday. You know, everybody's rejoicing. Everybody's excited. But then Jesus gets the city into view afterward, and it says he wept over it. And this is Jesus' quote. It says, if you had only recognized this day and everything that was good for you, but now it's too late. In the days ahead, your enemies are going to bring up their heavy artillery and surround you, pressing in from every side. They'll smash you and your babies on the pavement. Not one stone will be left intact. All this because you didn't recognize and welcome God's personal visit. And now you're like, hold on, that has nothing to do with patriotism. Well, look at this. What we see is that in the midst of the glory and the triumph of his entry into Jerusalem, knowing what's going to take place, Jesus begins to weep for his country because his city and his nation because he saw a failure in them. He saw what could be, what could have happened, the blessings that should have been, but didn't because they failed to recognize him, failed to listen to the prophets that talked about him, failed to listen to God when they told him to prepare for him, told them to understand when they see Jesus that he is the Messiah and to accept him because it will change your life and it'll change the entire world. But he knew that they hadn't accepted him. Yes, it was a triumphal entry. Yes, they were excited, but he knew it was just more or less a show because a week from now, they're going to be screaming, crucify him. You know, he knew that because of their failure to accept God, there was an impending destruction of Jerusalem, a destruction that took place just a few years later because they had turned their back on God. Jesus knew that, and he loved his home. He loved his nation, and he wept over that. And so he loved his people to the point that he cried over it. He cried over Jerusalem, and he cried over Israel, knowing that this isn't what God had in mind. And so in the same sense with America, you know, look at how we expect it to be as Christians. And many Christians do, and they see it, and they mourn over what America has become. You know, we look at what we were founded on, what we believed in the beginning, and now what we do and don't believe now or what we distort now. And we should mourn over that. We should cry over that. That doesn't mean we hate our country and forget patriotism. It means our patriotism comes out stronger in saying, look, I want to do what I can to change this. Because like Jesus, he wanted nothing but the best for his hometown, for his country. And he grieved over it to see how these people have rejected him, how his very people that he knew, he loved, many of which were family, they had now rejected God. And they've been rejecting God for years. And because of that rejection, this city, this strong city of Jerusalem, will soon be destroyed. And so Jesus gives us an example of patriotism, and it can be a guidepost to us as Christians. It is not a nationalistic patriotism. It's a love for a nation that doesn't pit it against other nations. Remember, Jesus died for everyone. So his crying was a sense of crying over his nation, his hometown, but also saying, look, you turned your back on me, and I tried to show you the way. I tried to enlighten you. God gave you prophets to try to set the stage for this very moment, and you've never listened. You've always turned your back. And it hurts to see what I know this country could be, but also what I know is going to happen to this town, what is going to happen to my people. You know, so this is a recognition of some successes and the beauty of what his city was and is and what his nation is, but it's also a recognition of the shortcomings and the failures of Jerusalem at that time. And so if we apply Christ's words to today, it might mean that, yes, we celebrate the times our nation does something great. When we come together, you know, for an event or we come together after an attack, but it also recognizes that our country does have flaws. It doesn't say, forget our country, forget our leaders, forget everything I've ever known, and go off the grid. No, I can still be a patriot and mourn over the decisions our government has made or mourn over who was elected. Those are okay. But when we take that mourning to, you know, threatening somebody's life are protesting to a point where we don't care if it leads to violence. We don't care if it leads to arson. We don't care if it leads to destruction. As long as I get my opinion across, it's okay. That's what I'm doing because it's an uprising against my country. Patriotism doesn't do that. Patriotism loves our country but mourns over its failures. But in seeing those failures, patriotism says, how can I do my part to bring my country back together? How can I be a patriot and do my part and try to change things for the better instead of just trying to make things worse? So like it or not, you know, we are a part of the community we're from the town you were born in. You know, you are, like me maybe, an Edentonian. You know, Chowanese, as I like to pick. You know, I was born and bred here. That's who I am. I'm an American. And we can't choose that. But you can choose how we react to the decisions of our hometown, to our country, and how we decide if or if not we're going to do our part to make things better or to do something as a patriot that hopefully builds up that name, builds up that community, instead of arguing just for the sake of trying to get an opinion across, which only leads to more destruction. You know, we have to understand that you're born where you're born. You didn't choose it. They didn't choose it. That doesn't make them better. That doesn't make you better. But as a patriot, what we do is we take note of this inborn love that we have, that we should have, and then we take that love to build to a desire of how can I build this town, this home, this nation into what I, as a Christian, believe it should be. What is my part? What is my role? Same as any church, we have to understand what is my part, what is my role. And as citizens, as patriots, we have to say the same thing. Instead of turning our back because of who got elected or who made a certain decision, we say, okay, maybe I should just stand up even more now. Maybe I should make sure people understand God's word even clearer, you know, so that hopefully next time the votes that are cast are vote in a way that pleases God, not just that pleases me or pleases somebody else. So Christ's words, Christ's example, means that, yes, we can embrace a healthy love for our country. It is okay to love America and disagree with the politics. It is okay. That's not wrong. Just because you didn't get your way in November doesn't mean that you can't be a patriot. You can still be a patriot, and you can still, as a Christian, love your country, even though your country doesn't always make the best decisions. You don't diminish this godly notion that it's okay to love the place you're from. God placed you there for a reason. And now God has brought you to Edenton for a reason. Use that. Take pride in that. Take a sense of understanding that, okay, I'm here for a reason, God. Now allow me to see that reason and to do my part. You know, his plan is already in motion. He intended you to be an American, to be a North Carolinian, to be Chowanese, whatever it is, that's where he intended, if that's where you are now and that's where you were born. So what do we do as patriots? You know, we do our part, because this form of patriotism knows that we can take pride in our town, our state, our nation, our flag, and our soldiers and athletes, and even our leaders, even if we don't always agree with the things that are said and done. And what that means is we pray for the wisdom of our leaders. We pray for godly examples through our athletes that are standing up, you know, wearing the USA jerseys. And we pray for fearlessness and peace in the lives of our soldiers and our men and women who are here nationwide as our officers, our men and women overseas. We pray for fearlessness. We pray for peace. We pray for those people we don't always agree with. Just because you say, well, I'm not a fan of war, it doesn't mean you shut down and talk bad about our soldiers. Just because you don't agree with the laws doesn't mean you argue every time you get pulled over for breaking one. You know, those men and women are doing their job to protect you. So our role as Christians, as patriots, is to pray for those leaders, especially the ones we don't agree with. Pray for those athletes, even when they make dumb decisions. Pray, God, allow them to see their mistake and to be a godly example for my kids, because my kids are looking up to them as the athletes that they are. Because it is okay, and it's even Christ-like, to pray for support and show concern for our leaders, especially the ones that we disagree with, and even our soldiers, that are fighting overseas, even if you don't agree with the war they're fighting in. You can disagree with the war, but love and support the soldiers who are fighting it. It's okay. I promise you. It is okay. It hurts my heart to see people that are upset with the war and therefore spill that over in the airports of soldiers they see, or when they see them out in nation, out all throughout the nation, they cussing at them, talking bad about them, when they're like, look, I just did what I felt was my part. I was fighting for you. I come back home and I get cussed at because you don't agree with the war. That's not Christianity and that's not patriotism, okay? Just because you disagree with it doesn't mean you have to fight those individuals. You pray for those individuals and support that nation we live in. Because if we won't change with our leaders, with our soldiers, with the men and women here at home protecting us, then you've got to start by praying for them. Pray for them as a Christian. Pray for them as a patriot. That's a large sense of your Christian patriotism as a whole. And so this patriotism, it recognizes, yes, we have a home. Yes, we have a flag, and we're flying the flags today. Some people would argue in churches, well, you shouldn't be flying a flag. It shows allegiance to country over God. No, that's not what we're doing. It's okay to fly your flag, and it's okay to recognize the government that we live under, to call it home, because that is where God has placed me. It's okay to support local and national protectors of peace and security. That patriotism praises those who fight for our rights and ethics, both in government and law. This patriotism shows gratification for those who have sacrificed in our place, and it recognizes our fellow countrymen as brothers and sisters. Just because somebody didn't vote the way you did doesn't mean they're not as much of an American as you. That doesn't mean they're not equal to you. They are your brothers and sisters. And as Christians, we should be the examples to our nation. It hurts me when I see other churches going out, and there's one in particular that fights everything, that's showing their disagreement with anything, traveling throughout the nation. I don't know how they get the money to do it, just for the sake of arguing. There's no love. There's no support. There's just, I can't stand what you do. God hates you. It's like, no, God doesn't hate them. He abhors what you're doing because you're hindering people from coming to you. Yes, he may disagree and abhor their actions and their lifestyle, but he loves that person. So we can love our fellow citizens. And as Christians, our role first and foremost is to show the love of Christ. That's what being a Christian patriot means. Despite, you know, how they voted, despite how you voted, despite how you agree with the war, how you agree with politics, all of that, you can still be a good citizen and a good friend, a loving neighbor to those people. That's what Christian patriotism looks like. It's not a love it or leave it if you don't agree kind of thing. Or it's a I'm better because of my birth. It's a look, we're all in this together. God put us here in this town, in this nation together for a reason. So let's use that opportunity. Use it to our advantage. And most importantly, show the love of God wherever that place is that we call home. Because Jesus taught us that patriotism does mean we can mourn, we can argue and debate, but in the end, we still love our citizens, our brothers and sisters. And it means tempering that love of country with the knowledge that, yes, my town doesn't always get it right. My nation definitely doesn't always get it right. Yeah, I can't tell you last time they did get it right, but the nation doesn't get it right. Our local government doesn't get it right. Our state government got it right because they just gave my wife a raise as a teacher. So that's good. You know, yeah. They finally got one thing right, you know, looking out for our teachers. But still, regardless of that, God's sense of patriotism that we're called to have tempers our love for country to a sense that, yes, I know my leaders aren't always going to get it right. But when they don't have all the answers, I know I can pray for them. I know I can still show brotherly love when I don't agree with my governor, when I don't agree with my county commissioners. I can still show them love. My church can still tell them, hey, look, we're praying for you. We're still caring for you. There is a sense of cohesion that has to be part, even though there's a lot of disagreements and we don't like the outcome of many things. Because true good patriotism lies in the ability to judge one's nation in its successes and its shortcoming. You aren't just a patriot when we win a battle or when every 4 years we're at the Olympic Games. That's not what patriotism is. Patriotism is a sense of love for nation, love for brothers and sisters, love for community that says, I want to do my part and show the love that God has called me to love. Love my neighbor as myself. That is a high bar that he set for us. It's the second greatest commandment. So as Americans, as Edentonians, our role is to love those people, knowing that we may not have all the answers. They might not have all the answers. We may not be a perfect country, may not be a perfect town. I don't like the way they always vote down new ideas, as I hear time and time again, but it's still my hometown. And I'm going to pray for those leaders and do my part in making that change that I see is God's will for my town. But, and I have to add this, the most important distinction that we as Christian patriots is that our first love has to be God. Yes, there are many Christians that'll tell you, you know, country, God, family. No, that's not the case. A lot of our servicemen are taught that, you know, country first, above your family, above your God. This is your God for the next 4 years. No. I can understand take responsibility for where you're at, but that's not what we're called to be as patriots and as Christians and even as Americans. It's God first. That is our first love, no matter what falls behind. I hope it's God, family, country. That's the order it needs to be in. But so many times we've skewed that even in our Christian understanding. So we have to put God first, God at the top, God in our marriage, God in our country, God in every relationship, God at the top. Because it's easy for us as Christians to begin to worship our country as an idol. We say, oh, I'm not worshiping my country. But the truth is, when that love for country alters the way you understand ethics, alters the way you understand politics, alters the way you view your family, then yes, it is an idol. You're following the culture, the climate, the political shifts. You're following that and adjusting to that instead of adjusting that climate to your ethics as a Christian, as a follower of God. You're allowing your sense of this is my home to override a sense of devotion and love for God. And yes, many men and women who fight for our country are even taught that. And again, it's easy to become, but it's not just soldiers. It's us here at home where we, you know, take that sense of pride to an overwhelming level and become hyper patriots. And that's not at all what God asked for. That's not the sense of patriotism that Jesus displayed. Because our first allegiance as Christians is to God and to his church. And when I say church, I mean Access Point, but not just Access Point. The church as a whole, the church body, brothers and sisters in Christ. And that means that the Christian patriot sometimes disagrees with our country and maybe even does something that is counterintuitive to our civic duty. But it says, look, my God is first, not my country. Our Christian responsibility always trumps patriotism, even when it seems uncomfortable. You may have heard different. Some people have even taught different. But Christian responsibility is God first, not country. Because in its pure form, as God intends it, patriotism and love for home can and should, I argue, and hopefully you've seen my sense of understanding here, but it should be a part of every Christian's life. But not in the sense that many people have defined. And that's why I say we have to understand both sides. I'm not saying you have to be a nationalist where America first, America above everybody else. No, God died for the entire world. We happen to be allowed to be born in America or move to America and now call it home. But that doesn't mean that it's America first. No, being a Christian patriot, yes, is a good thing. And it is okay. We can disagree with our government. We can disagree with our leaders. We can disagree with the way things are going. But we can also love, pray for, and reach out, and most importantly, do our part. And that part first is loving our brothers and sisters, even if they didn't vote the way you did. Even if you say, I can't understand how you as a Christian could vote for that person. I've heard it from both sides of the argument. Both of them can still love God first and then love their neighbors. If America would actually do that with that sense of patriotism, we would be able to see a lot of amazing things change. It first has to start in our lives as Christians, putting God first and putting a love for others at the second, you know, loving them as yourself. Once individual Christians do it, then churches begin to do it, then the nation will begin to change. And hopefully our government will see that there's a lot of things that they've taken on as their duty that really is the duty of the church. And the reason they've picked it up is because the churches have failed to do their part. Christians have failed to do their part to live up to what it means to be a Christian patriot. So let's do our part. Let's first love God, then love those around us. That love allowing us to pray for, to reach out to, and to do our part as patriots in our country. Let's. Hey guys, it's AJ Layton, lead pastor at Access Point Church. We're so glad you guys have found us, stumbled upon us, or been long listeners. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to our page, share with your friends. We look forward to seeing you next week.